It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Renee Ritchie's here. Andy Anako, Alex Lindsay. Renee's just back from Pokemon Go Fest. He'll have a report on the fiasco. Alex Lindsay will help us deconstruct the latest Rock times Siri commercial, shot by shot, coming up. And Andy Anako with a new Motorola phone. It's all next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 568, recorded Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. Pokemon, don't! MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by PayPal. PayPal believes in the power of entrepreneurship and wants your business to reach its full potential. That's why they're awarding three businesses they think have major potential with $10,000 and a makeover from one of their partners. Believe you have what it takes? Visit paypal.com/MacBreak today to learn more. And by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. And by Capterra. Capterra is a free, easy-to-use software comparison site with over 400 categories of business software to choose from and thousands of reviews from actual software users like you. Visit Capterra.com/MacBreak today. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Pokemon. Joining us, he's back from PokeFest, which is not all about delicious bowls of Japanese food, but in fact, Pokemon Go. It's Mr. Renee Ritchie from iMortal.
Oh, now I want a sugary PokeFest, Leo. You totally spun my world around.
I want some Poke. Great
to see
you.
Yeah, I was there. I crashed and burned, but I managed to jump, roll, ninja roll out and survive and get back here.
I can't wait to find out what happened, all the details.
Oh, it's a juicy story. Juicy story.
Juicy stories to come. Also here, besides Renee Ritchie, Andy Anako from the Chicago Sun-Times is in an undisclosed location.
I'm in the blue room, ladies and gentlemen.
Are you at the Boston Public Library?
No, I'm not. I'm actually like kind of near Mood Fabrics in the garment district of New York City. I was at the Motorola launch event for like their new weirdo phone.
I want to know more about that.
Maybe a little bit later if you like.
Okay. And he's tired because he spent the night on a train or something.
No. It's just that I had to leave the house at like 5 a.m. to make my train to get to this thing on time. And I think listeners will have been in this position where it's like, okay, I can go to bed now and get 2 to 3 hours of sleep, or I can stay up for 2 or 3 hours and absolutely not have to worry about oversleeping and missing my train and missing this event I'm supposed to be at in New York City. I made the silly choice that got me to New York City.
Well, I'm glad you got there, and I can't wait to hear what you found out. I hear it's a very large city with buildings that reach to the sky.
I've seen over 17 people, Leo. I stopped counting at 30.
Wow. Wow. Many. Just use the word many. Many people.
One and one, no more than two.
Also here from his studio in beautiful downtown Burbank. It's I don't know where. Alex Lindsay.
Just San Rafael.
San Rafael.
And, it's San Rafael. Office, really. It's,
as I know Dr. Don used to call it. San Rafael.
I just don't like Echo.
Do you have – I know. I love that. I don't like Echo either, and I like what you've done with the place.
It's not really my space until there's a whole lot of Sonics on the walls.
He's got that fancy foam on the wall that reduces – it does. It sounds like you're in a soundproof room.
When I started in radio, it was all carpet. You know, it was like a little AM station.
It's carpet, so right.
Let's just put carpet on the walls. And then it was egg crates, but the key was not to get any egg crates that had any broken eggs on them.
That they're highly flammable.
That. we didn't think about that. We were just mostly thinking about Echo. But
yeah. No, this Sonics stuff works well. I might have to get some of this.
Sonics is great. Yeah. They come in big things, and get the wrong ones. You order the wrong ones, you get these little one by ones. And you're like, what am I supposed to do with this?
We actually have some on the wall up here. right? It's just a small patch up there. So we are gathered together to talk about Apple and the Macintosh. And yes, The Rock did make a movie with Siri. Hey, Siri, we got to play this. We got to play
yes.
this. Show me my life goals list. So remember last week, The Rock had just tweeted that he was doing The Rock versus Siri, the movie. And we were speculating, but it was obviously going to be an ad. But it's a long ad. It's not a is this airing on television? Maybe a short version?
I haven't seen it on television yet. It was dubbed a mini movie.
It's 3 minutes and already more than 6 million views on YouTube in less than 2 days. So they've got their money's worth, I think. Let's watch. This is former professional wrestler Dwayne Johnson. And apparently if I click this link, nothing happens. Oh, that's because I'm on a Windows machine.
Oh, yeah. You need the YouTubes.
Is the problem that I'm...
It might not have HTTPS streaming support.
There we
whatever
go.
Apple uses. Yeah.
Okay, let's start over again. So I'm going to have to describe this for you watching at home. He's trimming his bonsai
This
plant.
One's for Earth. This one... is for Earth.
Bingo. Boom. Love that one.
Felt okay. Like what is he talking about?
We don't know yet. That's going to come back to the end of the, okay. at the very end, there'll be a callback to that.
And then his little assistant is saying, his sycophantic assistant. By the way, while he's doing this, he is pumping iron with his right hand. He's got a cable machine and somebody's shaving his head. This is all going yes. on at the same time.
Yeah, felt good. Hey Siri, read my schedule.
You have 25 appointments at 7:15, 7:20.
They're on the telly.
With so many projects in the works, it seems like Dwayne Johnson can't possibly take on any more.
Well, that sounds like a challenge.
So now he's headed out.
Where are we going, buddy?
Dwayne. Buddy.
Hey Siri, show me my life goals list.
I found 10 reminders.
Thank you very much.
By the way, he doesn't even read them. That's a dubious value, but okay. He's grabbed a leather jacket. He's apparently on a soundstage. He's grabbed a leather jacket from the rack as it goes by. He is now fully attired.
Rocked.
He's rocked out.
Hey Siri, give me a Lyft ride to LAX.
Lyft can get you a Lyft in 60 seconds.
I do like that. I didn't know you could do that. I've never used Siri to get Lyft or Uber.
That's Siri Kit. It's what you can do. Ride hailing is one of the Siri Kit features.
So the Lyft driver drives up, and The Rock peers in the window and says,
"Mind if I drive? I know a shortcut."
You're.
Yeah.
The driver hops out, gets in the back seat, and The Rock.
Picture of young Rock as his wallpaper.
The high temperature for today in Rome will be 80 degrees, and the low will be 59 degrees.
He stopped the airplane.
So, do I pay you?
It's on me. This is your new captain speaking. Looks like we have nice weather coming up for Rome, Italy, so sit back, relax.
This plane's going to Akron.
This flight's going to Rome.
The Rock has now hijacked a flight and is painting the Sistine Ceiling.
Give me my last email.
He's kind of floating in the air above this.
I think he's doing restoration.
Oh, is that it? He's restoration. He wouldn't presume to paint over Leonardo da Vinci's, or who is it? Michelangelo's.
Michelangelo,
great work.
Yeah, Buonarroti.
At 9:30 a.m., Visvan sent you an email about Mr. Nakamura can discuss your fashion line.
I'm out. Hey Siri, show me photos of my fashion line. Hiroka-san, what do you think?
It doesn't really matter what I think. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's showtime.
It's gone black and
everything
white.
Everything in life is made up of four elements. Wind, fire,
fashion
water,
show.
Rock.
Runway show.
Hey Siri, text Chef Ludo. I want to cook. Hey Siri, how many ounces in a centiliter?
One centiliter is 0.34 fluid ounces.
Je sens que le roc me mijote.
Merci, give me some.
By the way, that was apparently Japanese for I smell what the rock is cooking.
Siri, play my practice playlist.
Now he's playing a Chinese instrument. In a duet.
What a weird call that is from your manager. You're a master of this Asian instrument. So, by the way, we want to be in a commercial where you're playing this instrument with The Rock.
Right, because she is probably an actual master.
Yeah.
Right.
She looked like she was fingering the instrument correctly.
I don't know how she fingered correctly, but she was doing. Let's see.
She was faking it extremely well.
Let's see if The Rock is.
Hey, Siri,
By the way, he's already posted a YouTube video. You should check in on that real quickly. It's called The King of Chinese Shred. Dwayne Johnson tears up Gujong.
Hey, Siri, thanks.
Oh, wait a minute. I should have made note of. He's got 777 thumbs up, 59 thumbs down, and 11.3 million views. Which, actually, this commercial is approaching already.
What a bad idea to leave a negative comment on one of The Rock's videos.
Time call to Dwayne.
You don't do that twice.
Okay. When are you getting back to set? Everybody's freaking out here, man. We still got the last shot.
Don't worry. I'll be there, okay?
He's in space.
I'm going to go get fired.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, Siri, take a selfie.
He seems to be wearing a Mercury or a Gemini area helmet with what appears to be an Apollo 8A EVA suit. No, that doesn't look like an EVA suit. It looks like an in.
Yeah, let's check that, because that does seem like there may be an anachronistic use.
Clearly, Captain Kirk knew the combination to his vault.
This means me a good helmet here.
Apparently in the vacuum of space, but the suit is clearly unpressurized. Look how easily he can make a fist.
Megan said the best part of this commercial was she learned that Siri could do that. Hey, Siri, yes. Take a selfie.
It couldn't originally, and we filed a radar. It would originally just turn on the normal camera.
Oh, that's funny.
So we radared it and pointed it out, and then it got fixed.
Because they knew they had to do this ad.
Hope it don't cause an eclipse.
I promise.
that's a good line. I missed the first time through. This is one of those ads you have to watch over and over and over again.
He'll be here. He's very punctual. Okay, just roll or do whatever
you say
do.
So. All right, let's roll film, please.
So they're rolling the commercial without The Rock because, well, you'll see.
But, giant mechanical spider for all the Kevin Smith fans.
And there's The Rock.
And there was the Wilhelm scream.
Oh, was that the Wilhelm scream?
Yeah, let's back up.
Let's back up. I think it was. Wait, I got to go back a little farther. Oh, that's hysterical. Only Alex Lindsay would pick that up. And 8,000 Redditors. That was a Wilhelm scream for sure. For sure. Nice catch, Alex Lindsay.
We've added it to a lot of things.
Google the Wilhelm scream, folks, if you want to know what that is.
There's a whole YouTube video.
There is. He emerges from the giant spider in the t-shirt and jeans he was wearing at the beginning of this commercial.
This one's for Earth.
Oh, he was practicing his lines.
DJ, that was
amazing, man. Are you okay? Of course you're okay.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, Johnson.
This is senior's question.
This looks like it cost an awful lot of money.
I'm so glad you're back. Yes. We got a lot to do.
Is this guy wearing a Darth Vader helmet back here? What's going on?
Well, check out the pit stains in the personal assistant up there.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was very nervous.
He was nervous.
Very, very nervous. Yeah.
Continuity details like that.
Yeah. This is they've really put the extra effort into this here. So you've got the pit stains. You've got the Darth Vader helmet, the scissor lift to nowhere. What kind of camera? What is that? What is that here, though, Alex? That looks like a jib there with...
That's a remote control head for a remote control arm.
Yeah.
So it's a big circular thing that basically lets you control the rotation of the camera as well as
by the way, pan and tilt. No pits on The Rock. Just want to point
out. Can I say that's one of my favorite kinds of like shots in TV, movies, anything when they have to rent super expensive camera and lighting equipment just to put on a set to make it look like a working movie set, even though they're not using it.
Well done, my friends. Well done.
Yeah, we do have a lot to do. Hey, Siri, create a new list.
What should I call this list?
Life Goals, a sequel.
Okay, no. Normally, I like sequels, but I think right now we need to push off on that and just keep you open for other projects.
Hey, Siri, you're the best.
Thanks, Mr. Big, Bald, and Beautiful.
I love you too.
So he's named himself Mr. Big, Bald, and Beautiful. Wait, I gotta fix that. Hey, Siri.
All three of those things is true.
Call me Mr. Big, Bald, and Beautiful.
You would like me to call you Mr. Big, Bald, and Beautiful?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, I got bold. I'm not bald. That's okay. I like big, bold, and beautiful. That's good. Siri, nice choice. All right. There you go. We have now deconstructed.
We have smelled The Rock is cooking.
The Rock. Dominate the day. The Rock versus Siri. I think Apple. Do you think Apple got their... Okay, budget, Alex Lindsay, what do you think?
I give it $3 to $4 million.
$3 to $4 million. $1 million a minute.
Yeah, probably.
Yow.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, there's a lot of production value there. I mean, you know, they got it done for less, but when you look at the amount of special effects and you look at all the bits and pieces and you look at locations and process, they obviously didn't do a lot of those on location, so they had to build that in a set, and they had to, you know, there's a lot of
sets on there. This. And they had a car chase scene. I mean, now I presume the Sistine ceiling is probably a green screen as opposed to actually building a replica Sistine ceiling.
Wasn't told the location.
Yeah, I mean, but there's going to be some location there. I mean, that's probably all a matte painting, other than what he's, and he might not even be touching anything on that wide shot, so that could be all green screen.
It's a pretty big matte. I don't know.
It's not that, it wouldn't be that hard to build. I mean, and mats aren't big. They're just, whether they're detailed or not. I mean, they're just, it's just a screen. Like here, you know, he could be just doing a little bit of something close up. I mean, you know, and have the rest of that behind him be pretty much where that curve is probably where I would do it.
He doesn't touch anything, I don't think.
So theoretically, he could do it all on green screen. That would definitely, it's well done effects, well done shots. You know, they're all things to be done. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it was in the $3 to $4 million range.
There's an actual jumbo jet. I don't think that's fake.
I don't know if there was any part of that that needed to be.
Those are real fences.
This is all. But this
now,
right
you don't
there,
think that that's a real air? Yeah, that might have been faked, huh?
I think that they could have faked all of that. They probably shot the car turning, but you know, most car commercials we see are all CG. I mean, there's almost no car commercial. Yeah. Like when you see them driving through the roads, that's one thing. But when you see any of these kind of effect stuff, I mean, this is kind
of... You're not going to shut down LAX so he can drive a lift vehicle onto the runway.
And you don't need to. I mean, that would easily... It's actually easier to do that in CG.
Wait a minute, is that an Air Canada flight there? I'm a little worried now. Okay.
I don't think so. That's Air Akron.
Air Akron. Oh, that's right. We're flying to Akron.
But yeah, one photo or a couple background plates or a shot plate, you know, that would be enough to you know, all of that would, that all actually looks, now that we look at it again, it probably looks like it was a map.
Yeah, you know what, the plane was moving.
CG plane in the front.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to move. I mean, if you've seen 405 the movie. Have you seen 405 the movie?
No, what's 405 the movie?
405 the movie was probably the original viral movie before YouTube existed.
I do love that picture of the young Rock.
Yeah. with the kid in play hairdo.
Classic.
Turtleneck with a big necklace around the turtleneck.
By the way, note the date, Monday, July 24th. This all happened yesterday. Amazing.
It would have been funny. I think the funnier thing would have been to the stuff he's doing on social media where he's posting it. It would have been funny if he posted it on Sunday. Like things like he was doing those things.
Like he was actually doing
it. As part of like a social campaign, you see him actually doing all those things, and then the next day you see how that actually all came together.
I have to point out, there aren't a whole lot of series screens in here, maybe two or three. You hear Siri's voice a lot, but not a lot of screens. I mean, I don't, you know.
Well, I think the Apple does that well. It's not overdone. It's not done. I'm going to put it in your face all the time.
Some of those CBS shows where they were showing off the Windows phones were really...
disgusting. I agree.
Let me pull out a phone for absolutely no reason and show you a close up of me using it. Yeah.
And a cameo.
I'm checking contacts, right? Like it was like, I'm going to show you how to find my contacts.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
On my phone while we're talking.
It was so ridiculous. A little FaceTime cameo. That's nice. Yeah. Get that in there. Give a little plug for
from
the
orbit.
The old system.
Good reception in orbit.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Actually, well, probably the reception is quite good. It's line of sight, isn't it? I mean, for almost everything. And they did have to build. Did they build a giant spider? I think there's some practicals in there because he had to explode into it.
You got to be able to rent a giant spider. That's got to be built somewhere. That's in somebody's catalog.
The guy from what was that old Kevin Smith joke where they kept trying to force him to put a giant mechanical spider in Superman, and then he finally dropped out and he went to watch Will Smith in Westworld and Act 3, giant mechanical spider. So I'm sure it's just sitting in Lorenzo Di Bonaventura or whoever it is. Yep.
Well, and the other thing is with a lot of this stuff, what makes those things expensive is how much they have to articulate. So if it doesn't have to articulate very much, it would actually not be. I mean,
it's built out of styrofoam.
It'd be $100,000.
Yeah.
Well, no, it could be built out of metal, but it might cost you $50,000 or $100,000.
Well, you've done exactly that, right?
I've built some stuff, not that big, but definitely we've built a lot of stuff.
Well, I'm thinking of the dragon you built for Sword and Laser, right? That was
That was,
and that moved.
I didn't build it myself.
Right.
So, but actually, Martin, who did build it, Martin was in my office this morning. It's so, like, so anyway,
nice,
but
nice to see podcasts with big budgets.
Yeah. How did they shrink the rock down so small to get rid of all those miniature models?
Yeah, it's interesting. It holds up pretty well to the. This is a lot of commercials wouldn't hold up to this frame by frame analysis, but it holds up pretty well.
Cock-a-doodle-doo, Johnson. Yeah, cock-a-doodle-doo.
And the reality is, I mean, $3 to $4 million for a
commercial,
high end commercial is not really that big of a deal.
It's music video money,
$1.5 million
right?
Just to play it.
Yeah. It's like music video.
Music video money, circa 1990 or whatever, maybe. Right. But music video don't really get that kind of budget anymore,
right?
Because the music.
Yeah, plus, it's really important to have a commercial like this, because one of the difficulties of any sort of a voice assistant is that there are no menus or buttons. You can just sort of
good
like,
point.
I'm going to methodically go through every menu to find out what this app can
good
do.
Point.
It's
yeah.
like the number of times that someone has impressed me, so, wait a minute, what did you just say, ask Siri to do? You can actually, oh my God, I didn't know that. It's a
great way to educate people on the other features that you can use. I mean, you're absolutely right. The right. being able to you know, have people say there's probably 3 or 4 things in that video that I didn't even
call
realize you could do with Siri.
People don't,
right. That's call the lift, turn on a selfie, turn on low power mode always freaks people out.
Turn yeah. on low power mode.
Yeah.
There's nothing that he's doing in this commercial that is really fresh or revolutionary or says, my God, Siri is amazing to anybody who's been using it for a couple of years. But again, it's like the number of people who use Siri to find out what the weather is, do simple math, and turn on and turn off lights, who have no idea what it can do. It's you need to have a magic show at some point.
It's actually a good point, because
who else but The Rock?
I mean, you're paying attention to The Rock. The things he's asking Siri to do are very basic. But people probably don't, you know.
But it's stuff that, again, it's basic for someone who hasn't tried asking Siri to do things like that.
It's sort of like, it's to get people to use Siri. And it's all you have to do is right. remind them that
and Siri
exists.
Cool.
Because, yeah.
And make it cool. And if The Rock uses it, it must be cool. Hey, let's take a break. We're going to come back. New Mac malware that's been around for years. And a visit to Grant Park, Chicago, yes. Illinois, 60601. But first, a word from our sponsor, PayPal. Yeah, PayPal. You know, it's funny because when I first set up the podcast, we didn't have advertising. We just took tips via PayPal. We still do. A lot of people still subscribe to our shows, a couple bucks a month, via PayPal. And now we've got PayPal ads, which makes this full circle. We've gone full circle. PayPal is doing something really cool. They're awarding 3 businesses. They really believe in the power of entrepreneurship. They're awarding 3 businesses they think have major potential with 10 grand and a makeover for one of PayPal's partners. You think you have what it takes? The future of your business can start here. I wish they'd done this ad 11 years ago. I would have applied. You can reach your full potential with $10,000 and a makeover. Here's your chance to earn some cash flow and take your business to the next level. 3 grand prizes, each of which includes that $10,000 cash prize, one-on-one payments consultation, and one of the following: you website makeover, a 12-month hosting subscription, and 10 hours one-on-one support with a specialist. A lot of small businesses, that's a big challenge, is the website. Or, an even more of a challenge, I know it was for us, back office makeover, which includes 12 months of accounting software and advisory services. Prize also includes priceless publicity for your business. Enjoy the spotlight with blog posts and a video profile highlighting your makeover experience. These will be shared on the PayPal website and social media channels, and there is no purchase necessary. Of course, there are rules, subject to the rules at paypal.com, void where prohibited. Must be 18 years or older and a resident of one of the 50 United States or D.C. to enter. And the deadline is soon, so don't waste any time. July 30th. And you find out more at paypal.com/MacBreak. paypal.com/MacBreak. We thank PayPal for their support all these years. All these years. And by the way, I should also thank all the people who contribute. I probably shouldn't remind them, who contribute every month, a couple of bucks. All I said was just a couple of bucks a month. That's all I ask. And people have very generously have helped support this network from day one with the PayPal subscriptions. Thank you.
It was a no-brainer.
Were you one of them?
Yes.
Aww.
I was listening to MacBreak, commuting home from work, and I said I need more Leo in my
Thank
life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, there's a new virus in town, except that apparently it's been infecting a small number of Macintosh computers for years.
Sounds like pervware.
It was, yeah, we call it RAT, a remote access Trojan, right? The idea was it could take over a computer and watch you. They could capture passwords and take control of the mouse. You know, people have called me. I feel bad now because people have called me on the radio show for years saying I have a Mac and somebody's watching me. And I almost always said, yeah, no. It's, but maybe they weren't far off. Tell us about this. Was it Firefly?
Yeah, it looks like, I don't know too much about it, but it looks like it was recently discovered, but is an older version of malware that would try to spy on people. And
Malware Vice discovered it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and it would call home to these servers. So they registered one of those servers to see what was happening and saw this sort of information. But it looked like it was very limited in scope because the person either only wanted specific things or didn't want to risk discovery. And it's unclear what sort of, like, you know, all modern Macs, I believe, go through a secure enclave now for the camera. So it's very, very hard to get any form of access to it. But it's unclear when this started, and it's been dormant, apparently, for a while, too.
So it was discovered by Patrick Wardle, who's with the security firm Synac. And it came to light, he said, in January, after circulating for at least 2 years, Fruitfly, both malware samples capture screenshots, keystrokes, webcam images, information about the affected Mac. There's two generations of it. They also collect information of devices connected to the same network. Malwarebytes discovered the variant 1 infecting 4 Macs. And apparently Apple responded to that by updating Mac OS to, you know, what is that tool that they have that will delete malware automatically?
I'm blanking on the name now. There's another name, but it's a malware sort of detection system.
You know, Apple's done a very good job of, without even really making a big deal out of it, protecting Mac users. Wardle's version 2 of Fruitfly has infected a larger number of Macs. And as you say, he discovered that because after analyzing it, he discovered that there were several backup domains that were command and control domains, and they were hard-coded into it. So the domains had not been registered, so he registered them. And he says within 2 days of registering one of the addresses, close to 400 infected Macs connected to the server, mostly from homes in the U.S. Now, he didn't obviously take advantage of his access. He recorded the IP address and the usernames. And I presume with the purpose of, you know, Apple contacting them or somehow fixing that infection. So, and they don't know the mechanism for infection. As you say, Renee, it's kind of thought that perhaps it was created to spy on specific people and then abandoned by its creators.
Yeah, I haven't seen much information on it yet.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out more tomorrow because he's giving a presentation at Black Hat. Or was that last Wednesday? Is that, no, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, Offensive Malware Analysis, Patrick Wardle, dissecting OS X Fruitfly via a custom command and control server. But what's weird is it's been going on for a long time. The servers still work. People have it on their system. Some small number of people have it.
It's very strange because it is, like, usually you're talking about thousands of people being infected, not hundreds.
Right. Of the 56... Yeah. AV products for Macintosh, only 19 detected. And that's only because it was discovered. So we now know Macs get viruses. Not that that's a surprise to anybody. And that this weird one has been around for a while. Is there any concern, cause for concern? I mean,
We've talked for a long time. It's an economic crime, right? Like, you have to be, it has to be worth your money to target Mac users. In this case, it sounds like it was a very specific intent, and he was willing to go to this trouble to do it.
Right, he or she or whoever.
Yeah,
they also say it's written. It's written in Perl, so they think it's probably pretty old because nobody writes exploits in Perl. Although at one time it was the hacking language of choice, and so it could have been around for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, a lot of the stuff is really operational in nature. You're not trying to infect one out of every three computers on the planet and create a botnet. Sometimes it really is. We know that this installation that has data we're very, very interested in is predominantly a Mac shop. And so we really just want to infect people who are using this the machines in this lab or in this office. So, and you can roll out variants of common viruses for pretty much any operation that you want. So that's why you often find, people have told me that you often find these sort of like siege machines three quarters of the way built that the grass and the trees are now sort of slowly overtaking because they were built for one purpose, a war that never came, but there was no need to pull the infrastructure down. So it was just out there somewhere.
It's just sitting out there. Well, apparently it still is, it still can affect Yosemite or works on Yosemite. If you have it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Alex.
Oh, no. And then sometimes pulling it down will get you in more trouble. I mean, you're exposing yourself as a hacker again to take the infrastructure out. So you're better off just leaving it there.
And also, given these things are invisible, why would you want to pull it down? It really is. Every time I talk to somebody about who really is an expert on this kind of security, it's never about the one person who has the magic key that unlocks everything. It's these people who are just throwing medium-sized rocks constantly at every single target, and they will find that weakness, and now that's the crack that they're going to expose for the next 5 years. So again, if they found a little way to put that little end of that wedge through this one installation that they want, that's of good enough value to them to keep things going.
It'll be interesting to see Wardle's presentation tomorrow, because he instead of disassembling the malware and trying to figure out what it did, he created that command and control service and then tried different commands, learned in effect what it could do. That should be very interesting, you know. So we'll find out more tomorrow, I guess. Here's his Twitter post has a picture of the screens. So I don't know what more to say. Should people not worry about it? It sounds like Apple's fixed it. Apple patched for variant one earlier in this year, but variant two, mm-hmm. I don't know if it's been patched yet.
Well, I think that in general, it's for whatever computer you're using or your iPhone or anything else. I mean, at this point, we really all have to stay vigil. You know, just, absolutely. you just have to look at, keeping these updates really running, you know, and not being, not thinking that it's not going to affect you anymore. And so I think that there's so many hacks going out, and this is really the next big wild, wild west across so many places that we have to think about it. I have to admit that even, you know, the more you use Apple Pay, the more you feel like you want that kind of security. Like the idea of every time I slide a card, I'm like, I don't know if this is really going to, how long this is going to last, you know, where I feel safe sliding a card or using a chip. I mean, they already have chip readers, they have slider readers, and you feel like you really want biometrics to be incorporated into a lot more of what we do. I think that there's going to be some point. I think Apple, retailers are moving slowly towards, whether it's Apple Pay or Samsung Pay or all these other ones that you have an option for. I think that we're going to move to a point where we kind of expect that, and there'll be a certain level of customers that just don't want to, if given a choice, won't shop at places that don't carry it.
Yeah. As a practical matter, for Mac users and iOS users, I think it's just down to make sure you're running the latest version of the OS, make sure you're running the latest patches, because one of the biggest vulnerabilities to a network is not huge breaches in security. It's the idea that there is that one Mac that's still running 10.5, 10.4 because the department uses it for this one tool and they really don't want to swap out a system that's working, but they've lost out on 5 years of revolutions in nailing things down. And that's the point where that's the weak point that gets people access to the entire network should they want to. But it's not like Android. It's not like Windows. You don't really have to take an active stance against it. You just have to make sure that if there's a system update working for you, if there's a security update waiting for you, you download that thing and you go.
Wardle also points out that even though there is a technique that's been known for some time on how you could turn on the EyeSight camera on your Macintosh without turning on the light, this version of Fruit Fly doesn't employ that technique. So it's either old or they said it's really not that sophisticated. It's feature complete is the word.
And again, my understanding is that they've shoved that into the secure enclave now, so it's almost impossible to get around that.
Yeah. If you're interested, though, Wordle has a whole set of OS X security tools that you might be interested in at his website, objective-see, get it, .com, objective-see.com. Knock, knock, see what's persistently installed on your Mac. Task Explorer, always useful. Block, block, provides continual protection by monitoring persistence locations. I don't even know what that means. Ransomware? Oh, and a lot more. This is very cool, and these are all free. So,
yeah.
And
it's also not a bad idea just to put a piece of a sticker or something in front of your iSight camera. I always have something in front of the camera because mostly it's because I will have like a phone briefing or a web meeting briefing, and I didn't know they wanted to see the camera as well. It's like, oh, I would have put on a clean shirt and shaved had I known that you were going to be turning on my camera.
That's a nice thing. But
nonetheless, it's the one way to be sure that, yeah, they're going to, worst case scenario, they can get your microphone, they can get your keystrokes, but at least they're not, there's one thing they can't possibly break through, which is a strip of gaffer tape or even the sticker from a banana or a piece of fruit on top of your camera lens.
Yeah. Let's see. Grant Park, Illinois. Yeah. Saturday afternoon. The scene of mass carnage. Well, not really carnage, but if you're John...
Pandemonium in the streets!
If you're John Hankey, you probably weren't all that thrilled about the events.
If you were the Pokemon Company, you probably weren't thrilled about
those. Yeah. Let's show John Hankey taking the stage at Pokefest to booze, fix the game. 20,000 Pokemon Go players there to catch very rare, never before seen Pokemon, to fill out their Pokédex. You know who else was there? Embedded reporter Renee Ritchie.
Dun, 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 dun.
The biggest fear at the beginning, I'm told, was that there you might have a thunderstorm.
Yeah, there was rain early on, which I was actually not averse to because it was so hot the day before. And, you know, the sun, I think, was your bigger enemy than the rain. So it was cool in the morning. It did get hot during the day. And things started off fine. Like, John Hankey was walking around with his son playing the game. Everyone was, you know, having an interesting time. But they just couldn't get people into the venue fast enough. They had a capacity of 20,000 people. I think it probably hit 15 to 18,000. But that's a lot of people. The biggest problem is that this park usually hosts things like Lollapalooza, which are way bigger than Pokefest, Pokemon Go Fest. And Pokemon Go Fest took up the like one small corner of the park, which is usually, I think, four or five times bigger for Lollapalooza. And that it was all set up for that. All the infrastructure, there was millions of dollars of equipment from all the major carriers, including antennas and repeaters. There was fiber around the buildings, fiber inside the park. There were dishes set up to beam bandwidth into the park. And they were fairly confident because I think they get upwards of 100,000 people for Lollapalooza. But I think they continuously and perplexingly fail to understand, just almost like the iPhone on AT&T back in the day, just how much data, how quickly can hit a network, and how they have zero ability to scale that fast. Like, they can handle 100,000 people when it's spread out, when all they're doing is a little bit of light streaming and Snapchatting and stuff. But if everybody is hitting sockets over and over again for a massive multiplayer online game that has to be timed all the time, then, you know, AT&T went down, Verizon went down, Sprint went down, well, T-Mobile...
That's the question. People said they weren't getting any bars. So
they had bars. They had no backhaul to fill them.
Okay. So that's the question. And we have the phone company said anything? Because I'm wondering, is it their fault or Niantic's fault?
It's both. So they all crashed. So people couldn't get on. And if you could get on, you couldn't authenticate. And if you could authenticate, you couldn't interact. And if you could interact, you would freeze and crash.
So those latter couple of three things are Niantic's problems. And as Greg Farrow pointed out Sunday on Twit, not much of a surprise. Niantic isn't known for building scalable servers.
There was some concern that a lot of things were put in place to stop spoofers, which are people who fake their GPS location to play when they're not at the park.
Like, which you just scan a QR code. I would have done, right. Yeah.
Totally. So you had to scan a QR code to enable the festivities. But there was some rumors that all the code they put in to sort of block out the spoofers ended up causing problems for anybody who was legitimately there as well.
Did you get a Lugia?
So it was interesting. So I could play in the – there was everything went down. Wi-Fi went down. Everything went down. I could play in the press area – I was fine. If I moved 5 feet out to that, I would just time out. And there were little pockets like that. And because I'm roaming, I can jump to any GSM carrier. So I could just keep switching carriers, which most people can't do. So I could switch carriers in different areas to try to get a signal. Some people played just fine. There were some percentage of people who, for some reason, had no problem. A lot of people were just chanting, "We can't play, we can't play." And it was getting really ugly as the afternoon wore on. John Hanke, though, he was fantastic. He stood there, he signed autographs, he took – people were slinging vitriol at him, and he just stood there and took it. He did not hide. The head of the CMO, the chief marketing officer, Quigley, did not hide at all. They were always up front. The PR people, like, nothing is on background. All of this is on the record. Record us if you want to. They made statements frequently. So they were top notch. You could just see it. Like, they just could
here's,
not.
Here's John.
And turned off animation.
Here's, for this is from Business Insider. Here's John talking to the crowd.
Now, I know that some of you guys have had trouble getting logged on this morning.
It's really disenfranchising to not be able to.
A bunch of millennial nerds who have the worst frustration of their life. They can't catch a Lugia.
Well, and they had 13% of people who came from outside the U.S. as well.
Oh,
and
that's sad.
So towards the end of the day, they came out and they said they're going to do several things. One is they're going to refund tickets. So if not airfare or hotel, but they're going to refund the ticket price. I don't remember how much the ticket was. It was not a huge amount of money, but it was not insignificant. It was some small amount of money. They're going to give you $100 worth of Poke coins in like the in-game currency, and they're giving everyone a Lugia, which was the legendary Pokemon, which were, everyone was there to catch. It was supposed to be this glorious big debut of a legendary raid, and they couldn't do it. And then afterwards, they sort of unleashed all these raids. So that was a nice story. The ending to the story was actually phenomenal because people were super frustrated, but they extended the range of the event for 2 miles outside the park in hopes of getting rid of there was just too many people clogged too closely together, and they wanted to disperse people out. And around the park, it stayed bad. But as you walked away, everything started to work, and they made the catch rate. They unlocked two legendaries, Lugia and Articuno, because the Mystic team won all the challenges. They're the most popular team on the planet, so they won all challenges.
I happen to be Valor, so I don't think they're so popular.
We came in second, Leo. We came in second.
What color is Mystic? Is that blue?
Blue. So it's the blue
iceberg. Blue.
The red Firebird and the yellow Electric Bird.
Hate blue.
And they made it 100% catch rate. So as long as you participated, and there were probably about 10,000 people left, groups of 400 people in every corner, just having a blast catching these raids.
But this was later together. In the day.
After everybody left and went, and it stayed on until about 10 o'clock at night. And people were having a blast. Everyone throughout the entire thing was super nice. There were no riots, no disturbances. Good. No one had to be ejected, as far as I could tell. I think that was a better event than the one Niantic planned. Like, if people had just come in to Chicago, had everything else made available to them in that radius, you would have had a lot of happy people. And right. I think they did a pretty good job in salvaging it towards the end.
One of the fundamental problems in Chicago is there's a lot of challenges with bandwidth, especially cellular networks, something we've had some experience with in Chicago. And so, GPS by itself in most of the area over.
I think you've done an event in Grant Park? I think you have.
We have worked on an event in Grant Park.
That's what I thought
a while ago. Yeah. but one of the big things is that the bandwidth in general, there's just what you get into with older cities is that people don't want to put antennas on their older buildings, and they don't want to give access. Yeah. And so you end up with all kinds of problems there. The reality is it's really, really hard to go from not doing a lot of these events to growing to 20,000 immediately, because what you don't realize is for 20,000 people, you need 230 access points. I mean, it just isn't going to work if you don't put and you might need multiple 10 gig, connections that come in. Right. And those are all things that can be done in Grant Park. but I would guess that even though they put stuff in, they probably didn't put that much in. And so being able to handle 20 or 30,000 or 100,000 people and have them all have workable Wi-Fi is something that happens on a weekly basis at conferences and conventions. There's a handful of companies that do that well. It is an incredible amount of work, and it would have cost to do that right. Budget probably would have been in the $100,000 to $200,000. Of course, someone who's thinking that numbers wise, they're going to think, well, I'm charging $20 and there's 20,000 people coming. It's the whole budget, actually work, or a big chunk of the budget, but it would have been worth it, because it would have been worth it for them to lose money for X number of years to build up the idea of doing this. The people have the assurance they're going to have this great time. It's not trivial. It's not like they could have just brought in a couple more Wi-Fi access points. It's people coming in, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks before, setting up all those access points, testing, processing, and people who deal with 50,000 or, you know, or 20,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 people all the time. There's great solutions for it. I'm going to guess that they didn't have those solutions deployed. They shouldn't have depended on the cell networks at all. Like, they shouldn't, if you're going to do an event like that, it should be all, you're just assuming that they're all going to hit it.
Saturated with Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah. Well, they said they were going to make a lot.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that it sounded like they were going in expecting to break even or have a loss on this event. Like, it was going to be a money loser for them. They just wanted to get this event out of the way.
Well, I think they've probably made some money on Pokemon Go.
Well, game. Exactly. Like, people were going to spend a fortune in the game, but the tickets, I think, were never meant to cover what they were doing in the...
Absolutely not. I think it could have been a heavy... I mean, I'm just saying that when you're doing something at a loss or a break even, you start thinking in terms of, well, like, can I really afford to put $200,000 or $150,000 into the Wi-Fi,
right?
You know, like, and that becomes like a budgetary conversation. I mean, we don't, we work with a lot of corporations, especially when it's a marketing thing, there's a lot of concern about that budgetary thing. But in this case, is a perfect example of failure is the most expensive part of a production.
Yeah.
So did you get your Lugia?
I did, because they had 100% catch rate after the event. So I went around. I spent the entire night catching. So I got, I think, 4 Lugia and 3 Articuno after the event.
Just with one Pokeball.
Since then, I've got about a 20%, which is normal. Normally, there's like, it's about 20% chance of catching them if everything goes right. So it was nice to get that sort of head start at the event.
This may not have been the worst PR ever. Certainly, the 20,000 people were there. Some had a bad taste. I think a lot of people, sounds like it, that Niantic recovered. And, boy, they're getting a lot of press and a lot of people talking about how, wow, it's still hot. Pokemon Go is still big.
Yeah, and I mean, those crowds were super impressive, because I'm used to developer conferences where, you know, 5,000 is a really big crowd. They had easily three times that. And there were people of all ages. And again, for the most part, having a blast in the beginning and at the end of it. It just, that middle was incredibly painful.
Yeah, and people played all over the city too, right?
And there were nice touches, like Heracross, which usually only spawns in South America, was there. And then there's this Pokemon called Unknown that has a form for every one of the 26 letters, and they had the one spelling out Chicago for you to catch at the end.
And somebody said there was like a 27,000 combat point Pokemon he saw. But how are you going to catch that?
The raid bosses are all that. So the raid bosses in general have like between 25 and 35,000, but they shrink down when you catch them. Oh, so after everyone beats it, they shrink down to a normal 20 level.
I want a 27,000 something. Just to have.
It unbalances the game. Yeah.
That would unbalance it considerably. All right. And Are you glad you went?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it was a fascinating story. I mean, I was there. There was Greg Kubrak from TechCrunch, Alex Heath from – I totally butchered Greg's last name. Apologies, Greg. There was Alex Heath from Business Insider, a bunch of, you know, people from Polygon and The Verge and everything. And it was just interesting watching all of us, because we had no data either, trying to cover, trying to get video, trying to figure out what was going on, try to inform people and help them out, like, and tell them you had to register to get the bonuses.
It ended up being a big story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
Burke is leading a cheer in the chat room. Nerds.
I mean, anything that you do that no one else does, they're just lame. And anything that anyone else does that you don't do, they're just nerds.
This is a 1 year anniversary of the release of Pokemon Go, and I have to say, we had a considerable mania here at Twit for the game, and we had teams, and we were keeping track of it and everything. I haven't played it in a while, but it's still fun to play. Every once in a while, I drag it out and. There's still plenty of activity around Petaluma, and it's fun.
And I'm still finding, because for these raids, you have to go further out. So I found a bunch of parks along the southern part of the island near the lakes that I'd never found before, and they're beautiful. And I wish I'd known about them way earlier.
Oh, that's neat. How far did you walk?
At the event, I walked, 10, 15 miles, just because it was like a round track, and you had to keep walking, and I kept going around the area.
You can't just sit down and stop?
You can, but it's no. And if someone yells, "I found this," you know, the entire herd of wildebeest, everyone goes running. Like, and then
5-year-olds playing soccer, they're all just.
But afterwards, you had to walk the periphery of the park to catch everything else. And there was like a beautiful outdoor concert that we walked past, and then all the way up over. And I've never been to Chicago, and just seeing Chicago itself was stunning. Like the bridges that go over the rivers and the overpass and all that stuff. It was amazing.
I love Chicago.
Yeah.
And I love it even more knowing my cell phone won't work there.
It's like that Jon Stewart thing. I can't use my phone as a phone.
Yeah. All right. There you have it. A firsthand on the scene report from our reporter, Renee Ritchie.
And Andy flew in. He dropped the ladder. I climbed into the helicopter. He whisked me to safety.
All right. We'll get more in a moment. Coming up, Mac Break Weekly, Andy Yonako from the Chicago Sun-Times. Renee Ritchie. It's ironic because Andy was in Boston for this event. Renee Ritchie from Montreal and iMore.com and from Pixelmore.
I wanted to stay outside the kill zone.
Mr.
Maintaining plausible deniability.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Our show today brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Is it time for you to get a buy a new home or to get a refinance on your existing home? One of the big things you need to do is find a good mortgage lender. Can I recommend Quicken Loans? The best, I'll say it unequivocally, the best mortgage lender in the country. One of the biggest, but also one people love. They really love Quicken Loans because Quicken Loans is there for you. You know, you want a mortgage lender that will you can trust, that will work on your behalf. And they have a new product called Rocket Mortgage that makes this whole process completely client-focused, completely online, designed for you. You get the confidence you need when buying a home or refinancing your existing loan with Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. You'll know all the details. It's easy, too, because you can do the whole thing online, even submit the paperwork you need. It's not paper anymore. The bank statements or the pay stubs or whatever, you just do it with a touch of a finger because of Rocket Mortgage's trusted partners. It makes it easy. Whether it's your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage can do this whole process. You actually, if it's your 10th, you'll appreciate it more. You might not know what you're missing if it's your first purchase. But let me tell you, as somebody who's bought a few homes, this makes it so much easier. Oh my goodness. Based on your income, your assets, your credit, Rocket Mortgage will analyze all the options for you. You can pick term, you can pick rate if you want. Find the loan that's just right for you. And then the most important thing, and this, I think, you know, if this is the first time you've done it, you won't really understand why this is amazing. This will all happen in minutes. Like while you're standing there, they will get you approval on a loan that's just right for you. I mean, this process normally takes weeks, sometimes months. Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Good time to refi right now. Interest rates are only going up. rocketmortgage.com/MacBreak. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. We thank Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans for their support of our show. Apple is the most profitable company in the U.S. by far, according to the Fortune 500 ranking. I mean, is this a surprise? This is the 63rd list of Fortune 500s from Fortune magazine. You know that word,
shocked.
The phrase.
Shocked, Laporte, I'm shocked.
Shocked. What do you think number two is? Actually, I was shocked. It's not Exxon. I thought it would be Exxon.
I thought it was Exxon, yeah.
Well, let me see. Well, let's see.
I think it's in revenue.
Most profitable. Yeah, you're right. So the full list actually ranks Walmart as the most in revenue, then Berkshire Hathaway, then Apple, then Exxon. But when you're talking profit, the whole thing gets rejiggered. And Apple, which is number three overall in revenue, is tops in profits by more than almost twice the second biggest, which is J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, bank's going to be all profit, right? Berkshire Hathaway is third on that list. Apple had $45.6 billion in profit. J.P. Morgan Chase, $24.7 billion. Berkshire Hathaway, $24. Wells Fargo, $21. Alphabet, Google's company, 19. So that really shows you. Biggest employers, Apple is not really anywhere on that list. So that's another number that people often pay attention to is how much money you make per employee.
Yeah.
And Apple does quite well in that regard. So Apple, while number three on the Forbes 500, number one in the Forbes most profitable.
And number one in the title of this show.
And number one in our hearts.
Yeah. It's amazing that they're a company that makes things. They don't just move numbers from one computer to another to create wealth. They have to manufacture and ship things and do quality control and do customer service. that's a pretty, that whatever, however impressive this might be, and it might not be impressive, it's just making money, but that's a pretty big accomplishment.
Yeah, not bad.
They don't have dinosaurs to decay to make their money for them.
Apple is and these you were talking about that per employee, it's over, I think it's, well, this is from 2013, but really over $2 million per employee.
Wow.
And that was in 2013.
Wow. I'm sure it's much more now.
Threatened to quit.
In the past three quarters, Android owners had represented 14 to 17% of iPhone buyers. So that means that almost one in six iPhone buyers is coming from Android, is switching.
Well, they're not coming from Windows Phone.
Well, they're switching. They're not. These are people not staying with Android.
My last Palm Pre finally died. I have to buy an iPhone.
Finally. And I was surprised to see that the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus accounted for 81% of all iPhone sales. So people, I mean, I guess it makes sense. People are buying the newest iPhone, but the SE, we thought the SE was doing maybe a little bit more than one in five.
Yeah. Well, it's I don't know. By my point of view, it's not that surprising because people who are really sensitive to price have so many options other than an iPhone.
That's a good point.
So I think that you're left with people for whom it's not as though I can throw away money, but I got $600 for a really good phone.
Oh, they just want the small phone.
Our friend Steve Kovac says, do not buy a smartphone this month. And I think he's right. We know that Samsung has announced they're going to have a big event August 23rd. That will be the Galaxy Note 8 launch. I presume sometime between then and Apple's event in September, Google will announce a new Pixel phone. And of course,
the Squeeze Pixel.
The Pixel Squeeze.
Oompa Pop Box.
Squixel.
And you know, it'll be really interesting to see this number a year from now. What percentage of new iPhone owners are buying the high-end iPhone, which will probably, I mean, according to all reports, cost more than $1,000.
How many can buy it, depending on the availability?
Right. Yeah, that's going to be a big issue, too. We might not get ours till the spring, right? I mean,
they might only make a few of them.
Can you imagine that? Like, this is part of like the cost of human dignity in modern times. I want the new Super Nintendo Mini that Nintendo is coming out with, but I don't want to have to launch a land war against my local Walmart. infiltrate with spies, tunnel underneath to make sure that when they put one out, I can buy one without having to spend $400 for it on eBay. It's like all the arguments for the reasons for Apple conceivably doing a higher price, lower edition phone are very, very sensible and in many ways kind of exciting. But it's like, if I hope that they can deliver on if I have $1,100 and I'm willing to give you $1,100, you give me a phone. I don't have to I don't have to live in my van driving from mall to mall trying to find one. I don't have to go on Craigslist.
Like Kane from Kung Fu.
Exactly.
Apple should just say, we're going to give you the best phone we've ever made. It's $1,200. You can get in the front of the line right now. And we're not going to even tell you about it.
We say $1,200, we meant $1,400.
Oh, you want to be in the front of the line? That's $1,800.
No, no, but I'm saying that like we're not even going to show you what it is. We're just going to tell you that if you want to get in line, you can sign up right now. And
everybody would do pre-order.
It could a lot of Ferrari, people would do that. Where you have to have bought the other iPhones to qualify to buy the next iPhone, and then you get to buy those.
Wait a minute, I see that you skipped the iPhone 3GS, sir. Yes. You cannot.
Yeah. Back of the line.
Yeah.
Well, that's it's an interesting thing because that's what Ferrari does.
Yeah.
It's like it's a low production and it's all hand really it's a limited production cars, but they will also make sure that, okay, did you buy a Ferrari from us in the past? Yes. Okay. Do you still own that Ferrari or did you sell it 8 months after you bought it from us? And did you treat that car nicely? And so there could be, I don't know, there could be a new culture of people that have proven, I don't want to say loyalty or fealty, but Apple has said, you know, it turns out that you were really, really nice to the Apple geniuses when you had a problem and you bent over backwards to be a good customer of ours. You didn't lie to us when you broke the screen. If you want, we're holding the first top 10% places for the new phone. If you want one, you're on the first 10% of the list. Just reply to this email the next day.
I'm going to go into the Apple store holding my iPad 10.5, my Apple ceramic Apple Watch, my iPhone 7, and I'm saying, please, sir,
so
please.
You'll be like,
that's Leo.
I'm a good customer. Here,
your wife's rose gold puts you over the top, sir.
Please. I beg of you.
Look, I've got an Apple Pen. The magic
I even bought a Mac
shirt.
Pro. That's
got to
come
for something. I even bought a Mac 2CX a month before you came up with the 2CI and made it obsolete. Come on!
Oh, dear. Well, we'll find out. It's going to be an interesting September. I once again have planned a vacation at a poor time, leaving the country September 14th. Do you think I'll be able to get that iPhone 10th anniversary edition by September?
Now that you said it on air, they're going to hold the event the day you leave. You shouldn't have told them.
No, it's worse than that. They're going to hold the event before I leave. They're going to ship the phone the day after I leave.
Yeah. Wait for Laporte to leave the port.
I was very lucky to get the iPhone 7 Plus before our last vacation. Just right before it. And it was a Verizon phone. It wasn't the one I wanted. Karsten went out and got one, and we traded when I got back. Because I wanted the piano, the jet black. Yeah. And you know what? I've never had a case on this. I'll wipe the fingerprints off. And it's aged very nicely. It's got a few, as they said,
micro abrasions
along the edges. But I think it's still the most beautiful phone I've ever carried. I mean, that is a gorgeous work.
A handsome phone.
Yeah. And imagine it without bezels.
Yeah.
Will there be a mirrored one? I saw one rumor. That's
one of the rumors, yeah. I mean, I never believe anything until Phil Schiller holds it up on stage.
That would be such a fingerprint magnet, though.
I have to say, the thing that's most exciting, that if Apple, there's some challenges that I think Apple are really good at. There are some challenges that Apple are conceivably not really good at. One of them is that if you say that you only have to make 100,000 of these, so it doesn't matter if you can't source enough copies of the camera that you want. It doesn't matter if you have to throw out 40 panels for every one that you can accept. This is going to be the 100,000, the 100K iPhone that we are actually going to cost 10K for. So do whatever you want. Money is no object. Yield is no object. Just make the coolest phone as Apple can define it. For 2017, 2018. I wouldn't pay $10,000 to own it, but I would pay $100 for a front row seat to see it.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't. That's hypothetical. I would much rather take that $100 and spend it on clothing and food.
If the execs were singing Hamilton, you'd be worth a ticket price.
I would definitely tune in for the live stream. If there were a t-shirt, I might kickstart the t-shirt.
My name is Philip Schiller now. You ain't seen nothing yet. I should have mentioned this at the top when we were talking about fruit fly, but I do hope you've applied 10.3.3 to your iPad, your iPhone, and yes, even your Apple Watch. I was so surprised to get an update from my Apple Watch last week, but these were updates that patched roughly, according to the Register, 4 dozen security vulnerabilities. The 10.3.3 update, 47 flaws for the iPhone, iPad, and yes, iPod Touch, including remote code execution holes in the WebKit browser engine.
It's one of their biggest advantages still is the ability to update every device in every country, every person, all at once.
Now, I have to say, I just pulled out my phone when I was looking at this, and I have not. They don't notify you sometimes. They notified me about the watch, but they didn't tell me I had one for the phone, too.
They wait. So usually it's a couple of days because they know that people who are hyper interested will do it right away. And this sort of lets them load balance. And then all the crazy nerds get it out of the way immediately. Then a day or two later, they'll notify everybody.
So you should. The fixes Broadpone. If you have an iPad, you probably want to do that right away. I mean, just don't put these off. If you're on the beta for iOS 11, what happens? So they
updated the developer beta, I think, yesterday, if not the day before, and the public beta was earlier today.
Oh, so I should check. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're a Mac user, fixes for OS X Sierra, El Capitan, and Yosemite as well.
Yeah.
Including vulnerabilities in the Intel graphics driver that allow applications to execute arbitrary code at the kernel level. That's never...
But no more. No more Adobe updates, Leo. That's a nice thing.
So what's the deal with Flash? Adobe Flash, is that...
It's fine. I was joking before, and I said that DC managed to kill the Flash 9 times before Adobe had the guts to do it once. And you know, this is really strange for me because some of us have been advocating that you should get off Flash as fast as possible because it's become such a malware vector. But they really like ActiveX. They plugged a huge missing hole in web interactivity for many, many years. And the problem became that the web actually caught up, and they went from being a positive to a negative. Like, it became an anchor around the neck of the web. And now they're sort of finally letting it sunset after a lot of vendors started getting rid of them and a lot of malware attacks happened and a lot of people moved off the platform. But finally now Adobe has announced end of life for Flash, but only by 2020.
Somebody tweeted on Twitter, Carolina Milanese said, 2020 will go down in history as the year when people can finally stop asking why iPad did not support Adobe Flash.
It was so funny. Like, the funniest part about all of that is that Adobe had killer marketing or something, because all the time people were saying, Apple, why don't you include Flash? It did not exist. Adobe literally could not make Flash work on mobile for years after the controversy. And when they did, I had it on Android and on Palm. It wasn't great. Like, it did not fit their interactivity model. And still, Apple got a lion's share of the blame and anger overall. Well, and every review said they're missing Flash.
I have to correct that. The first, it was available, as I recall, it was about a year after the iPad before the first, or maybe two. I remember that the first one was. I think the first one was actually the BlackBerry's Playbook, or their first tablet. I remember that specifically because that was the first thing I was curious to find out, because that was after Steve Jobs' big letter about, here's why Flash is a terrible idea on mobile, here's why it would never work. And I was like, no, the playback is actually very good. Like, no, the sync is actually right on. It certainly was nothing like what H.264 would become like, but it was fine. It didn't kill the battery. There were trade-offs for CPU, I'm sure, but it sticks out because it's one of those times where there was a big impressive letter about why man will never ever reach the moon. And it's like, okay, keep reading, because the second stage of the Saturn V just lit off and now they're headed for the Faramora Highlands. I thought there was
a mobile before the Playbook, because the Playbook had much more resources, and I thought they got it onto Palm or Android earlier, but I might be wrong.
I think there was a plugin for, you're right, but we're going way back, and as we've established, I'm running on hope and caffeine right now.
I just remember not being able to hover state. There was just no, like, because it was a touch device, right. There wasn't mouse over support.
Right. We also have to remember that Flash is a couple of things. It's for interactive content and like really cool media content. So the fact that you couldn't get an app like a Netflix style app, a Netflix style app might work just fine, but people were using it for like courseware, for like interactive websites.
Well, that's the issue. Every restaurant probably still a lot of vertical software.
It is known as the jigsaw puzzle piece generator on websites all across this land and ours.
Steve Jobs was so shameless about it, not shameless, but he was like, he on the original iPad demonstration, he was just sitting there on the chair going through the New York Times, didn't care at all about that big puzzle piece right in the center of the screen, just scrolled right past it.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Oh, that's funny. Yep. Oh, that's funny.
And also should we mention that a lot of the wonderful content we were missing out on the iPad were ads. Right. Flash-based ads. Right. So
bad. Well, and people were upset about their video, like their illegitimate illicit video sites too, was a big cause of concern.
For a long time, I haven't installed Flash on a system in a long time, but if you use Google Chrome, it has Flash, a version of Flash built in. Google has announced at the same time that they are going to discontinue Flash in Chrome. They put interesting stat from this post on the Google blog. 3 years ago, 80% of desktop Chrome users visited a site with Flash every day. Today, that number is down to 17% and continues to decline. That's the good news.
Webkit.org has a good post on it, too. And one thing I didn't realize is you have to, even like, it does not ship with Flash installed. If you install it, you have to give it permission to access a website. And if you don't go to that website in a month, it turns it back off again.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And yes, I did just get iOS 11 public beta 3 pushed out to my 10.5. I had checked this morning. I did not have it yet. So it's coming and I'm downloading it right now. So that you should absolutely do that. The Broadpone and some other exploits that are in the wild is probably good to patch. And bye-bye Flash.
Yeah. R.I.P. Flash.
R.I.P. The Clips app is still alive. And in fact, more than alive. 1 million monthly unique users. This is the video app that Apple released. 1 million monthly unique users. That's a decent number. It's not a huge number.
Hi, it's me. I'm Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
Hi.
They've just added Mickey. So you can have brunch with Mickey. They've added some Pixar characters as well.
There's new overlays. There's new they call them posters. They're really sort of like those interstitial title cards. The one thing that I thought was really, really cool, though, is they've allowed you to do sequential overlays. And that's especially good if you're doing like how-to videos or something. So now you can hold down to start adding a video, add an overlay to it, you know, let go, add an overlay to it, hold it down again, add another overlay, hold it down again, add another overlay, and they'll build out over that timeline, which is super neat if you're building sort of.
I'm going to have to go back and play with it. I mean, it peaked at number 28 on the App Store, 1 million downloads over the first 4 days. But I feel like it's kind of, you know, got a lot of attention at first. And I don't know. I haven't used it since then.
Which is, it's a darn shame because it is one of the nicest pieces of software that Apple has ever written. And I would include like HyperCard in that list. It's just what it does is so unexpectedly beautiful and professional with such a small amount of effort. All you have to do is exert some creative will and you can do some amazing things that kind of get you more interested in making more videos. And I think that if it hasn't really taken off the way that I think it should have, I think it's only because of not enough people actually knowing that it exists,
right,
or people being perfectly happy holding up the camera, shooting a 30-second video, and not bothering to trim it one end or the other and just simply posting it to Instagram or Facebook. But, yeah, I mean, the stuff that Ren has been posting, she's been doing a bunch of, like, mini derby training videos. And it's like, how much money did she put in? Wow, does she have a staff? I was like, and remind myself, no, she has an iPhone and she has this free app. and also she's very, very creative and she knows how to tell a story visually, but the polish of this video is like, oh, anybody has access to that. If anybody who has the verve of a Ren Caldwell can do some pretty amazing stuff for free.
I think we're just also, there might be some people who are just waiting for like, sort of like how we have sticker support and iMessage now for almost any sort of pack. Because right now the Disney stuff is cute, but you'll use it a few times. But once you get to be able to put sort of any animated sticker or something into your video as you go, I think that'll unlock a lot more potential for it too.
Sticker memes.
Though they also made editing so they do automatic subtitling, and they made it, so some people didn't know that it was there, so they just assumed that you couldn't edit it. So they've put an explicit button for that now. So
I know. When we first played with it, I couldn't figure out how to edit it. You had to show me, or Serenity did. One of the
There's a button that lets you edit it now.
Oh, good. Thank you. Future AirPods, according to Apple Insider, might feature automated audio pass through. This is a patent application Apple published last week that describes an advanced in-ear headphone device that uses sensors and valves to seal out ambient noise in certain situations, but then letting in augmenting external sounds in others. So somehow knowing what you should be hearing. An in-speaker hybrid audio transparency system. I don't usually pay attention to patents. I mean, Apple patents everything.
But if you look at what they're doing with the HomePod and the Apple A8 chip, where they're basically deconstructing and reconstructing audio with a lot of intelligence about what you're listening to, it's not impossible to believe that at some scale that technology will start moving into smaller and smaller devices.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that this is moving towards a persistent headphone experience where you're not going to ever take them out, or not take them out at work, or not take them out
audio
at home,
AR,
or not take them out for some long period of time, where we just want to just have it, you know, there, you know. And I think that, and then you're hearing what you want to hear when you want to hear it. You're listening to music, you're listening to calls, you're talking to people. One of the big challenges with any of these is figuring out what to do with the microphone, you know. So how do you, because once you start sticking it really in your ear and you don't have anything hanging out, I mean, part of what makes the AirPods work is the fact that they still have some kind of directional mic that's going to be able to pick up your voice. Go ahead.
Well, this was exciting about it because one of the things I was hoping was that this would become a new kind of form of hearing aid. And this patent actually kind of gives it some of those capabilities. There's two things I'm really interested in. One is that sound augmentation system that is activated when the headphone valve, there's a valve on it, is open. It picks up audio from the external microphone, adjusts its frequency, and that frequency adjustment could adjust for instance, inadequacies in your own hearing, and then passes it on. as if you're not wearing headphones. Well, the other thing it does is it automatically adjusts to air pressure, so it could regulate ear pressure during flights. No more popping ears. That would be a really good reason to leave your AirPods in all the time.
Unless it doesn't.
It would
work
also be really cool after.
Really painful.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, there's so many different ways that they use this technology. I just think it's one of the most coolest things that any company could possibly do is a version of the Amazon Echo, but it really is an earpiece. It's not just, oh well, you've got this Bluetooth thing that can connect to Siri. I'm talking about no. Think of it more like a self-contained smart speaker inside your ear. And one of the things that's going to be important is for that assistant to be able to be heard through ambient noise. And one way to make something easier to hear is to make it louder, but that's dangerous. But another way is to sort of create a void around these words that the smart assistant is saying amongst the envelope of sound that's going into your ears. Similarly, just the idea of listening to music. People tend to crank. I'm listening to podcasts while I ride my bike or take a walk, and sometimes I can't hear this particular speaker because they're a little bit soft spoken, a little bit too NPR for someone who's walking next to traffic. And so I crank it up, and it's not unhealthy, but if I'm killing my hearing, I wouldn't know that it's killing my hearing. But imagine it being able to essentially, again, create some white space around this piece of music or this piece of text around the ambient noise. It will allow people to hear things clearly when the volume is turned up to 50%. So you're absolutely right, Leo. We all say whenever we talk about patents that these are just ideas that they have lawyers who are going to get paid whether they file patents or not. May as well have them file some patents. But the more you see what Apple is really, really proud of and excited about over the past couple of years, I think that audio might be the thing that's kind of like multi-touch for them, where it's like, this is a signature thing we can do exceptionally well. We can build physical, desirable, emotional products around the sound experience. And so we are going to put a lot of our second $1 trillion future into being a great audio company.
There's a website, of course, patentlyapple.com that covers Apple's patents. And last week, Apple was granted 54 patents total, including an
iPhone Hi-Fi Part 2.
Yeah, iPhone Smart Dock with Siri.
My only question is, how much of that money will it take to license Scarlett Johansson's voice?
That's what we really want. Wireless charging. Just look at all of these.
One of the rumors that the distance charging for the iPhone, it would require like a small accessory or an iPhone dock, and that would actually end up being part of the hub system eventually, where it would coordinate with the intelligence on the device and the other sound equipment that you had in the room.
I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about disambiguating heteronyms in speech synthesis.
Right after semiotics is top of my list.
So if you look at this list, that's really underscores what we've been saying, which is that Apple patents every idea they have. This is just good defense.
It also means Apple has got a lot of Poindexters on the payroll.
Yeah, if you've got a building full of lawyers, they got to do something.
And I patented Laporte. That's the question.
Yeah. Are you going to Santa Fe this weekend, Andy? I know you're a big opera fan. In fact, this combines two of Andy's passions, Steve Jobs and opera. Santa Fe Opera is debuting the Steve Jobs Opera. Here's a still from it. Obviously, Woz and Jobs in the garage. You've discovered the Apple One. Yes, I made the Apple One. I bet Andy could do a very good. That's Garrett Sorensen as Steve Wozniak. Edward Parks as Steve Jobs. This is another scene. Oh, the black turtleneck, mock turtleneck makes its debut with a bunch of iPhone screens and some sycophants sitting in
I said,
front.
Are you getting it yet?
Are you
it's
getting
not
it yet?
Three devices, it's one device.
Santa Fe Opera commissioned it in 2015. I don't know, Andy, what do you think? You excited? It's called the Revolution. Is this it? Is the Revolution of Steve Jobs? Is that what it's called?
Well, okay. I mean,
with parentheses.
It's in English, so it's going to be more appealing to a lot of people than.
Yeah, I like Italian operas myself. Let's see. Is this the making of?
Story of Steve Jobs is the man who miniaturized and simplified our human communication.
The composer Mason Dates.
Little devices.
I want some clips.
Had so many issues with
the comp.
Oh, here we go. Here's some. Here's. Let's see if this is. I want singing.
The thing that was.
No, I don't want talking. I want singing. This is a guy talking. Oh, here's some singing.
Steve Jobs, with this, which is Quicksilver acoustic guitar, electronica, to the more oceanic lyrical harmonies.
They're
of
not going to let us hear it. White. Are they?
World of Coboon, Steve Jobs. Has a very...
Oh, please. I guess this is just a...
But this is a man...
This is a tease promo. I think we need to go to Santa Fe this weekend.
Communication. And in that tension, I think we'll...
It's, yeah, I mean, if there is a it's a challenge, I think. I think that one of the great things about opera is that it can make really broad and maybe silly topics seem like the most important and emotional thing in the world. So if we're talking about, if we're going to have like an act two aria that's about... that handicap spot is nobody's but mine. I don't care what the cops will say.
Nice.
If you realize that opera singers, the thing that makes them unique is that off the career ones, they have spent 8 years studying technique before they're even allowed to really sing any real arias. That means that you've got the equipment necessary to now start to understand the emotion of this song. So that's why you can give them Polly Wally Doodle, and they will find the undone trammeled depths in the well of emotion that's in this little plinky plinky folk song. So
there is a long-standing tradition of writing operas about current events. There's, of course, an opera.
Verismo opera, yes.
The Death of Klinghoffer. This is the dramatization of the... That's a terrorist singing. He's about to push Klinghoffer in his wheelchair off the boat. I'm not a big fan of modern opera, to be honest with you, but...
Well, there's also a Star Trek version of the abduction from the Seraglio. It's like where Uhura has been kidnapped by Klingons and Kirk leads an away team to bring her back.
I don't know though I know opera stars are trained to do this, but I don't know if any opera star should ever be forced to sing the line "America is one big Jew." That is probably not something he was prepared for in his career. Nevertheless, that's from the opera, The Death of Klinghoffer, as performed by the Metropolitan Opera.
I finally saw Hamilton.
Ah! In San Francisco.
Still haven't.
Yeah, my kids
you guys
already
still
knew
have?
Every word.
It's funny, when I was sitting in the audience, I was saying that to the guy sitting next to me. This is the first time I've ever been in a musical where everybody who's not seen the musical, but everybody knows every line.
Soundtrack is so good.
My wife got tickets. They said, well, we really love Hamilton. And I was like, okay, well, sing some. And literally, you know, a cappella in the car.
Oh, yeah.
They just sang the whole song. Oh, yeah. You know, like they just sang the whole song. The whole song with all the bad words and all the other things. And they, you know, they're like, they just have, they know the song. And so I felt like it was like this moment where it was, you know, obviously a sizable investment to take them to Hamilton. And, but it was this, you know, I felt like they had earned it. It wasn't like me trying to expose them to a musical. It was something that they were, you know, really knew a lot about. You know, they knew every song, every bit. They were, you know, so excited. And it's the first musical I've ever been to. So it was, for me, it was a...
Did you like it?
It was great.
Wasn't it good?
It was amazing. Yeah, it was
so
amazing.
So the guy who sang the part of King George for a brief time, not a brief time, but for a while in New York, he wasn't the original King George. He's the one I saw. Jonathan Groff is actually in a new podcast that's a musical called 36 Questions. It's a musical podcast. So, and Groff is great. And we listened to a little bit of it the other day, and I thought, well, this sounds pretty good.
Audible. Get your free book from Audible.
Yeah, I don't know how they do the ads.
Even if you cancel you.
I can be myself. When I am with you, I can feel.
This is
shivers running down my spine, your skin close to mine. mine. It's like my five senses made.
You're not hearing the music, just the singers, but this is pretty cool. There's a, this is, I mean, that's a lot of money going into a podcast. It's not exactly what you'd expect, but if you're interested, it's called 36 Questions. Mm-hmm. It's a musical podcast, believe it or not. And they're already up to 4 episodes. You say the price of your freedom. I love. He was so good.
The price of my love's not a price that you're willing to pay. You will be back. Soon you'll see. You'll remember you belong to me.
Da 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 da.
Oceans rise, empires fall. When
see?
Seen each other.
Never seen it. Can sing every
and
word.
When push yeah, comes I can't sing every word.
Yes. It's because Andy can sing.
Yeah, he can.
I said that the tenor is always the tenor. I could not sing anything. Song.
Such a good song. Such a good song. State Farm sues Apple over house fire caused by defective iPhone. Who cares? Of course they do. Verizon points finger at Niantic for problems that led to Pokemon Go fiasco. I knew I'd find that story.
Y'all fault.
It's your fault. I guess
we're a cell phone provider, not a miracle worker.
It's my favorite line from the new Justice League trailer, and I'm pretty sure Joss Whedon wrote it when the Flash says, "I don't fight, I just push people and run real fast." That's what it seems like.
So the trailer was interesting because there was no Superman in it.
No, he's dead after the last movie, Leo.
Batman killed him. What are they going
to
do?
Well, he sacrificed himself to rid the Earth of Doomsday.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they got it. Well, I mean, it's not the Justice League without Batman.
Brian Singer filmed
Superman.
That movie already. So I right.
Okay. Apple Music is going to host a live performance from Arcade Fire day after tomorrow. Is this the Apple Music Festival? Are they still doing that? What's happened with that? There was this time last year, wasn't it?
I don't remember the timeline for it. And I feel like Arcade Fire is that a Montreal band? I should be crucified for not knowing that.
I don't
know. No, I think they still have Apple. I think usually Apple Music Festival is in September.
Oh, is it in the fall?
I believe. Okay. Yeah, it's right. In the fall. And gotcha. So they have a lot of experience in this area. It is really interesting to see how
Montreal.
Far Apple Music takes, exclusive content development, how far they take this down the path.
Well, and I'm sure it's a loss leader, right?
Oh, yeah.
All the money that they're not putting into App World, they can put into App Planet.
Did they cancel Planet?
I haven't seen
apps?
A second episode Planet yet. I subscribed.
They made at least 4 or 5, but I think they're rethinking it now after the reaction. Apparently, Jeffrey Katzenberg has pitched Apple on a new TV service. He was the founder of DreamWorks, of course, and a power.
And Disney's
Apple.
Renaissance.
Yeah. New TV. He's gone also to Google and Verizon and a lot of other people. The proposal, which Katzenberg says will cost $2 billion to launch chicken feed for Apple, is centered around original short-form content. It's just right for you millennials, less than 10 minutes in length.
The centennials.
It's not even just millennials or centennials. Like, I have to admit, I'm now to a point where I'm like, oh, I don't know if I have the energy to watch all of.
Nobody
Game of
got
Thrones
time for Game of Thrones. Nobody.
Yeah. But they said that mainstream, and Alex probably knows this way better than I do, but mainstream television is it's like series of snippets of 10-second interesting things. And that's why they move around so fast. Storyline. Like Game of Thrones has tons of storylines, so people never have to stick on one for anything longer
than
2 seconds.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
My daughter, I turned it on to, I think it was, I was bouncing around looking for this documentary on keyboards and left it running. I think it was on the Smithsonian Channel or something like that. And it just changes every 2.5 minutes, like every two or three minutes. It's like some snippet from their thing. And what's funny is it's the same. They use the same voiceover talent for like all of them. So it's like the same guy
over
talking about
over.
World War II, then talking about
right.
keyboards, then talking about, like, I guess they must use him a lot. He's like the sound of that channel. But
well, and now you know why YouTube does autoplay, because they just keep going, right. just keep going, just keep
she
going.
She's quite happily sat there and just watched jumping from one. I don't think she would have ever watched any one of those things for more than 2 or 3 minutes, but she was quite happy to sit there and
then it jumps to an inappropriate one and suddenly you're racing to the room.
Well, that's when you know you're safe, when you're not using when you're not watching YouTube. I mean, it's and there was it was funny. I went to look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, the video, you know, that had, you know, this last one with Tupac and everything else. And Yes was playing. And because we just watched that video, my wife was sitting there and my 8-year-old daughter points up and goes, "Is that a Mellotron?" You know, she's like, and my wife was like, "I don't know what a Mellotron is." Yeah, yeah. She was like, but
what?
You know, she
just, oh, yeah, a Mellotron. You know, don't you know that, Mom?
Mellotron, yeah.
Mellotron. Everybody knows Mellotron.
I said, well, what's that over there? And we were talking about the Mini Moog that was, or the Mini Moog.
She's like
was,
a synthesizer.
That was in there. But, so, you know, it's an hour of watching great video.
We said last week that the Apple security was going to shut down drone videos. Maybe not. Duncan Sinfeld is back with the late July update. Look at the landscaping on Apple Park. It is almost done. I still see piles of dirt, and there's still a tarp over what will be the leader. Pond. This is a nice sunset video. He's choosing the magic hour now to do his videos.
I think he's choosing the security firm's dinner hour.
after the security goes home. There's the disc. Well, they're actually almost
Steve Jobs Theater.
Yeah, the theater.
Oh. I still think that should be like a pop up timer or something where they push it down.
Oh. It's a webcam. It's a webcam.
Time for a new phone launch.
Is this the secret R&D facility? I think.
I think that's Johnny Cerucci's.
Either that,
building.
It's a Holiday Inn. Oh, okay. It looks like a Holiday Inn. Okay.
It does a little bit. I would want to be in the circle, not in the square.
You don't want to be Paul Inn.
Yeah.
You want to be Paul Williams.
Set a squared block.
Circle gets the square.
Oh. Yeah, notice he's on the
Tony,
periphery now. Look, he's flying over the road, not
where
over
where are the coffee shops and bars? That's what I'm most interested to find.
Yeah. Or is this actually the campus? Because it looks like public streets. Yeah, those are public streets. So on the right, new buildings as well. But across the street from the circle.
Yeah. Well, remember there's
a fitness center too, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It might be interesting to figure out like what the security layout is like, because remember that they have to, in the Steve Jobs Theater, for product rollouts, they have to have a way to get hundreds of people onto the campus and off and control them and get them off the campus without giving them access to places they're not supposed to be.
I'm looking for places to hide in the trees. So if I get in that campus, I'm never leaving, Andy. I'm never leaving. They're not kicking me out again.
You know, there might be a way, like, before they finish laying everything out, it's like, if you can, like, renumber them so that there's a, if you just, like, paper over one of the doors and make sure that it goes from, like, number office 112 to 113 without ever getting to in the beginning there, you could sort of, like, be the phantom of the spaceship campus. And I bet it'd be 9 or 10 years. As long as you can like live off of whatever insects fly around, I think it could be done.
I like it. I like the idea.
There has to be a hallway to a project that big. There has to be a hallway that goes nowhere. Like remember the love lounge at Pixar's campus?
Yes, just a little room. Yeah, yeah.
That like it wasn't. They had to wall it off because they thought they needed it. They didn't need it. And then at some point, someone says, "Gee, this vent looks almost big enough to crawl through." Like, oh my god, there's an antechamber in my office.
It's John Malkovich's mind. All right, yeah, I think this looked a little curtailed. I suspect he wasn't able to get as much access.
He wasn't in the no-fly, Laporte. He was not in the no-fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all suddenly right. The Rock and an arm carrier appears kicking up dust, shouldering a missile.
He just jumps and tackles it out of the air.
Let us take a break.
He just arches an eyebrow and then the shockwave from the eyebrow arches.
they were joking before. And like someone is trying to market a product for Pokemon Go where it's a drone that extends your reach. So that if you don't want to walk down that street, you can fly your drone and fight the gym. And I was just wondering if like another player's drone will knock yours out of the sky and then you have to drone wars everywhere.
That's a brilliant idea. I'd buy that drone. I'm always this close, like to the, you know, and I can't, you know, are you just too far away to...
Yeah.
That's like so already instead of like going off and engaging with reality, you need to engage with fake monsters that don't even exist in real life. Now you can't be bothered to leave your house to chase the fake monsters. So you need a machine to chase them for you.
They were saying that. They were saying, like, you know,
maybe you need a moment of self-examination. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm saying.
They're saying, like, at first, if, like, you hear this new Pokemon, you'll do any, like, you'll spend a week, you'll go anywhere to try to get it. And then you really want to get a good one and you stop getting the ones that aren't good. And then, like, eventually it's across the road and I'm not going to cross the road to get that. It's like the five stages of weaning off of any of these things.
We're going to take a break. Come back with your picks. Prepare your picks, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you about Capterra and a big milestone for Capterra. Now 200,000 verified user reviews on Capterra. Capterra is the software search site that helps you find the right software for your business. I know, you know, if you're tasked with, well, you know, we need to find the medical management software for our office, or we need to find some educational software or some website building software. We need to keep track of customer service, that kind of stuff. And you're charged with searching for it. What do? Do you just Google? No, you got to go to Capterra.com/MacBreak. 400 plus categories of business software, 400 plus. Thousands, look at it, from A-B testing. Let me see what's at the end. That's the A-B testing. Let me go all the way to the end of the alphabet here. Actually, I don't know if I can get that far. Scroll all the way down from A-B testing to, what's the last? Yoga studio management software. You can find it all. Pick a category. Trucking. Let's say you're a trucking business. You need trucking software. You go to Capterra.com/MacBreak. It will list all the different programs you can use. But wait a minute. You have some specific needs. Well, fine. Go over on the right, and you can filter the results. Let's only see 4-star rated with it has to handle 10 to 50 users. You want it web-based or on your hard drive? Let's make it web-based. Does it handle dispatch? Yeah. We need mileage tracking? Yeah. We need scheduling? All right. Let's filter the results. Now we're going to narrow it down to programs, 26 of them, just right for you. Then add them. Click the box here to compare. You can add up to 4 programs to the comparison chart. So I've added all 4 programs. And now I'm going to have a comparison chart that will show me the 4 programs I'm interested in, their ratings, all the features, where it runs, the costs, and, of course, user reviews, verified reviews from actual users. You gotta love it. This is Capterra.com, Capterra.com. You know what I love the best? It's absolutely free. There's no sign up. They're not going to call you. It's just free. Power up your productivity with the right business software. Where do you even start? I start at Capterra. Capterra.com/MacBreak. Capterra. You don't need to register. There's absolutely no obligation. You won't get annoying follow-up emails or phone calls. Just the information you need to find the business software that's right for you. Capterra.com. And congratulations to Capterra. They just broke 200,000 software reviews. And there's more coming in all the time. Capterra.com/MacBreak. Don't Google it. Capterra it. Andy Anako, time for your pick of the week, my friend.
Oh, I've got a new favorite app in the world. For the past several months, I've taken it upon myself to finally organize my music library with the MP3s that I've had since, like, I don't know, 1994, 1995, all the way up to the stuff that I've been ripping, like, last week. And you know how it is. It's like you ripped half of an album and you didn't rip the rest of it, and maybe you put the wrong art on one. And then also the people who contribute to the CD database are demented. I mean, if you want to know,
that
if you
happens
want to
all the time.
Oh my god! It's like, and also they're also like the great thing about having all your music organized is that you discover new ways to use it and enjoy it. And so, I found this app called BeatTunes, BeatUnes, and it's amazing. You launch it, you fire it up, and it will look at your iTunes library or just folders of music that you have, and it will do a million things with it, starting with like housekeeping sort of stuff, saying, oh, well, this one is pulling its album art from iTunes, but it's not embedded. Would you like it to embed the art inside the MP3 file or the music file? And stuff like this is where If my hatred of a person I've never met could kill them, this is where it would be lethal. When you have like an album by Adele and there are 18 tracks with Adele and there's one track where she's doing like a duet with Bono and someone says, oh, this must be a compilation of various artists. That no, it's not a compilation. It's an Adele album with one duet on it.
I hate it when that happens. And so we'll yep.
So we'll do all this analysis and say, okay, well, this is flagged as a compilation, but it's all the same artist. Would you like us to unflag that as a compilation? I can't list all the things it will do to fix problems in your database, not just like duplicate tracks and stuff like that, but it will do incredible stuff like that. But let's assume that your library isn't good, Nick, to begin with. It will also analyze the content of your songs to allow you to really understand relationships between music better. So a lot of apps will do beats per minute. So if you like to exercise, like I'm now trying to do what's called cadence training on my bike, where it's like that you're trying to never get fewer than 80 revolutions per minute on the cranks and never get more than 90. And so I'm looking for music that is between 80 and 90 beats per minute. So yes, it will show you, it will analyze the beats per minutes of all your tracks, but it will also do things like assign what it calls a color. So it will analyze it. And so all it means is that like all the red songs, the red doesn't really mean anything, but it means that if you've got 80 red songs, they are all similar to each other and they will probably harmonize with each other very well in a playlist. I can either stop talking after 30 seconds or I can go on for 20 minutes. The number of ways that this has allowed me to see relationships between the tracks that I have to fix problems that are deep, deep and disturbing in my library database, and also find out new ways to build new playlists that allow me to really enjoy music from places that I try to rip entire CDs now. I don't leave anything behind. But there are always those tracks that you never listen to because they're just not the hits, or they're just kind of deep, deep, deep on the album. But this will say, well, here are 81 songs that are pink with sort of mauve-ish overtones. And so, great, give me a playlist with 20 of those songs. And it's the most beautifully mellifluous, like it's like a concept album, because it looks like it was all written by the same person with the same mindset, even though you're talking about music that's spanning 60 or 70 years. And on top of all that, it's a pretty good music player in and of itself. If you've been sort of frustrated by how iTunes works, it will work as a nice music player. It will, if you want to make changes to your iTunes database, but you can also have it create, I think, its own library, so you can sort of have it as its own special little music player. I was running it in sort of suspicious mode for the first week, but after seeing the results it was getting, I was more than happy after making a full and complete backup of my music library to have BTunes like apply all these things, so that now all this information is tagged within the music files themselves. So even if I do put it into iTunes, even if I do put it into a third-party music player on another platform, I will get all the benefits of the stuff. It's not a cheap app. It's $35, but it's free for, I think, the first 14 days. And I'm talking about free, not it'll do only the first 80 songs. It was grinding at thousands and thousands of songs in my library for days and days and days on end. But I think it's eminently worth $35. It's beautifully made. It does something that I don't see any other app doing. And I keep coming back to the fact that there was joy hidden inside my music library that I was unaware of until BTunes showed it to me. So that's worth $35 of anybody's money.
I'm going to run out and get this. This looks amazing. It's been around for 10 years. I don't know how I haven't heard of it.
And it has the other thing I like, which is you especially when you hear about a legendary good piece of software and you say, oh, last updated 2013.
Right.
Like, okay, now compatible with iOS 10.6. But no, the last update was just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Yeah. So it's a very, very active. I think that's partly why you appreciate them charging $35, like a decent amount of money for a really great app. I think that's the reason why they've been around for so long. That's the reason why they keep updating it, because hopefully this app allows them to pay themselves a decent wage.
You get the feeling it's one guy. I keep hearing in the blog it says I. I'd love to know more about who's behind this. It looks like this has been a labor of love for some time, and there's a lot of smarts.
Yeah.
Is a plug-in API and all sorts of stuff. I can't wait to try it. Thank you for the suggestion. Great idea. Great, great, great pick. BEATUNES.com. Renee Ritchie, your pick of the week, sir.
Well, first, I want to apologize. There were a lot of great Twit and MacBreak Weekly fans at Pokemon Go Fest who came up and said hello and gave their best to everybody here, and I forgot to thank them for that. But that was terrific. It was great seeing them and their kids and you know everybody with them. And the all the bonuses from the event that were unlocked, last night they extended them for another 3 days, so everyone has until Thursday now to get double experience, double Stardust, double candy, double everything, basically. So. Yeah. If you're playing, keep playing. My pick of the week is because RIP Flash, you know, web still needs to be authored. Interactive content still needs to be made. And now we have HTML and Canvas and all these great, you know, CSS Transform, all these great technologies to do it with. But most of us don't want to code that in math. So there are apps that are really great authoring. Adobe has its own authoring suite for HTML5. But Hype has always been one of my favorites. It was formed by two Apple employees after they left the company, Jonathan Deutsch and Ryan Nielsen. Ryan Nielsen has gone back, but Jonathan Deutsch is still there, still working on it. It's made by Tumult. It's a fantastic app. It just lets you create what you'd expect to create in Flash, especially if you go back to the early days of Macromedia and you remember how you would build things and create timelines for them and animations and transforms and everything. And Tumult's Hype lets you do that, and it's all converted into HTML5 coding, and then you can deploy it just as you would deploy any website, and it creates beautiful, interactive, really good-looking pages. And I've been a huge fan of theirs since they started, and
so this
still
is,
a fan
it's
of theirs
all
today.
HTML5. It doesn't.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And again, if you're used to building with Flash, I think in some ways this makes better choices.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and it looks gorgeous, and it performs well because you're not using a plugin, you're using all the native and a lot of browsers, you know, are accelerated, so you get all the advantages of writing native content.
This looks great too.
It's
wow.
Absolutely terrific.
So Tumult, TUMULT.com, and the program is called Hype, HYPE. They have Hype 3 and Hype Pro and Hype Reflect.
Yeah,
all kinds of hype.
People want more hype. Can't believe the hype,
more hype.
In this case you can.
TUMULT.com.
And it's just a great group of people making it, too.
Nice. Nice. All right. We've saved the best for last, at least the most expensive. Alex, Lindsay? No?
I don't think so. So the one of the things that we're running into, and we're doing a lot of AR and VR research right now, and most of it right now has been in Unity, Unity3D.com. And Unity is kind of, it's Unity and Unreal Engine are really the two platforms that almost everybody's building VR and AR experiences. And we haven't had a ton of experience with Unreal. We understand that there are some advantages with particle systems and some other rendering advantages. But so far, we've done a lot of work in Unity 3D, and we're really happy with it. And one thing that a lot of people tweet towards me or email me or send things is, how can I get into the industry, or how can I get into the next thing? I'm looking for my next job. I would definitely suggest checking out Unity. I'm just, you know, as we look down the path of a lot of these platforms, as we look down in the fall and look into the, you know, the demand, among a lot of people that I know that are in this industry, the demand for Unity developers far, far, far outstrips the supply. And it's free to get into. You can download a version that is, I think, has almost all the features in it for almost nothing, and the rest of them are, it's still a pretty low subscription rate to get into, but you can definitely get into it, and there's tons of learning materials. There's stuff on lynda.com. There's tons of other online, courses that you can take. Our guys jumped into it, and it didn't take them very long to be publishing stuff on your phone, showing little AR things on our tables, that type of thing. And so it's a pretty straightforward process. There's lots of sample code. There's lots of other things that you can do there. So if you're thinking about the next thing you want to do, or you're thinking about adding something, I thought it would be a useful thing to say that I would highly suggest checking it out and playing with it. It might be your next career. It's going to be a busy couple years.
Interesting. UNITY3D.com. And you're right. I see all of the AR kit demos that I see are many of them are done in Unity. So it's obviously
it's just really easy to throw things together quickly and pop them up. And a lot of the stuff you saw with Apple was a Unreal Engine was used in the Apple keynote. And so that's another one to look at. Our experience so far has been the Unreal Engine's the learning curve has been a little heavier as we deal with it. The Unity one is much faster to get into. It's unsure whether either one will be a big winner or whether you need to know both or whatever. But AR and VR kind of run on those two engines. and it's definitely worth checking out if you're looking at a career as a getting into college or getting out of college or you know, long college was long ago and you're interested in this kind of thing. It's pretty high demand industry.
Looks like subscription is how you go.
There was right? some amazing, yeah. some of the early games for the Oculus Rift, the HTC Vive were people who just took the engine and the right. in-game, the parts that it included, and they made lightsaber battles right. and dungeon crawlers, and they were amazing.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Is the personal enough, the free personal edition?
To start with, absolutely. Okay. I mean, what you're really getting into as the on the larger ones is, you know, you're going to end up paying to support, you know, a lot more users. I mean, if you right. really turn it into an app, but the personal one's just fine for to get started, to figure it out, to see if this is something you want to do, to see if you can build anything that you're interested in. There's no reason to go any higher. And it plays the Unity logo, and there's some limited, a couple other limited features, but there's nothing that's going to stop you from seeing whether this is a worthwhile thing. And then you can move on to something else if it makes sense.
Cool. I like it that they offer a free personal edition. That's really great.
It's a great idea.
Fellas, we've come to the end of another gripping edition. Oh, I was going to do my pick. I forgot.
Hey.
I often skip picks, but I thought I'd mention this one because I've been looking for a good case for my iPad Pro. This is the 10.5-inch. And Logitech, I think it was somebody in the chat room who mentioned that Logitech has created something they call the Slim Combo. I got, when the first iPad Pro came out, I got the Logitech keyboard case. It was just so clunky and thick, I just decided to abandon it for Apple's smart keyboard. But I have been looking for something that covers the whole iPad and uses the smart connector. This is one of the few cases, keyboard combos for the iPad Pro that uses that, pogo pin smart connector on the bottom of the iPad. And I have to say, it's a lower cost case. It's only $130 compared to $160 for the Apple keyboard. It has a very nice physical keyboard. It's hard plastic. It's not a la Contra or whatever Apple's using. The keyboard, which is really nice, is backlit, has all of the special keys that you need for the iPad. And the case itself has a loop for the Apple Pencil, so you can keep that attached. I think it's a pretty nice case. A couple of negatives. One is that because it's detachable, just like the Apple Smart keyboard cover, it detaches. And it's not the strongest grip ever, but I don't think that's anybody's fault. That's just how you have to do it. I do like it that instead of, like with the Smart keyboard, you have only one angle. And I always found that folding around of the Smart keyboard, kind of complicated and at the same time, kind of wanky. This has a hard plastic kickstand that can go pretty much any angle, including a almost flat angle, kind of like the Surface Studio that I use here. So you can decide what angle you like best. And it actually works both in portrait and landscape mode. So if you want to, watch something in portrait or do something in portrait, you can detach the keyboard and use the kickstand, and it'll hold it up in portrait mode as well. So this, I think, for the price is probably, I haven't tried them all, but this is my current favorite smart keyboard case for the iPad. It's Logitech's Slim Combo keyboard. I love it that it's backlit. I think that's really, really handy. Have you tried this, Renee? Sounds like you're...
I have not. It's, Serenity usually does the case review, but I like that it uses smart connector. I like that it has a loop for the Apple Pencil. Those are two things that are typically in high demand.
I agree. And I don't know of a whole lot of cases that use a smart connector. A lot of them are designed for you to just use a Bluetooth keyboard. Comes in black and classical blue, and it's $130 for the 10.5-inch version, $150 for the 12.9-inch version. I'm sorry, $129.99. But that's $30 cheaper than Apple's smart keyboard, and I would say it does everything the smart keyboard does.
It's not made out of taffeta.
It's not made out of taffeta. It is made out of hard plastic, but it's grippy. It's not. All I don't think that's presses. Unattractive as you carry that around.
It's nice. It looks. Looks like a real folio.
And I have to say, once you, it really becomes very laptop-like once you put the kickstand out. I don't know if I can show it to you, but I like. Yeah, I'll put it here. I think that's very highly functional. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my recommendation, the Slim Combo, until I find something better. We do Mac Break Weekly every Tuesday right after iOS Today, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. Stop by and watch us live. You can visit us in the studio. Just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a nice chair out for you. Or you can watch the live stream at twit.tv/live and join us in the chat room if you do, so you can talk back to your television, something we all like to do at irc.twit.tv. If you're not here live in person, don't worry. On-demand audio and video of this show and everything we do at Twit is available on our website. In this case, twit.tv/MBW for Mac Break Weekly. Or, better yet, whatever program you use to listen to podcasts, use the subscribe feature and subscribe. That way you'll always have a copy of Mac Break Weekly every single week. Thanks to our great esteemed panel, Renee Ritchie from iMore.com. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome back from Chicago.
Thank you.
Andy Inoko from the Chicago Sun-Times and his website, CWOB.com. We didn't get to talk about that Motorola phone. You were in Boston for a briefing, I guess.
Yeah, well, it was a small event, but yeah, so it's not much to
talk
about.
Is this a G, an X? What is this?
It's the Z2, I think.
Oh, the Z2, okay.
Yeah, it's got the pogo pins on the back, and one of the features they've got is they now a 360-degree camera for this that you can attach to it for one of the other accessories they can do. Motorola does some cool stuff. They try to take Android and do interesting things with it, but not the Samsung way, which is to say we decided that we could market this really well if we had an ad with this feature in it. No, they're actually trying to move things forward. So. Cool stuff.
At least they're continuing those smart backs, right? I mean, or not?
Yeah, no, they're very, very much committed to it.
The Moto mods. I like those.
It's a great idea. I just hope that they keep thinking of good things to do with it.
Right.
This is an Andy feature, and I'll end this very quickly. I'm sorry, but an Andy feature is, oh God, I would be so cool to have a phone that has a back that has a much better camera on it. They tried it when they first released this version of this phone with a Hasselblad back.
Yeah.
But it took pictures that were far worse than whatever the internal camera did. But it's a great idea. Let's just hope that the relevance to the our show is that anytime that any phone maker has a really great idea, it's an opportunity for other phone makers to figure out how they can make that relevant and how to improve their own products, and it improves everybody's life.
This is the Moto Z2. And August 10th, is that what they said on that day?
Yeah, it's taking pre-orders today and be available pretty much everywhere in the United States starting next week. And they're kind of excited to get people to buy these because if you buy one, I think you get a free like Pico projector back, like Snap-on back.
Oh, that's
so you can actually
tempting.
Be in this conference room and like be watching gun smoke in your conference room, so long as all the lights are off because these Pico projectors aren't really great for light.
No, yeah, $500 unlocked, and then if you're at Verizon, for some reason $408.
Yeah, that's why it was weird. It's like my list of questions was, okay, you just talked about for 30 minutes. You didn't say how much this costs. Like, well, because we got lots of carriers and but ballpark $1,000, $8,000, $4.
$500 is not bad. $500 is not bad. And then of course there's all these nice little backs you can quickly.
Yeah, that's why I'm intrigued by the idea of Apple saying we can't compete with these really, really good $300, $400, $500 phones, and people who don't have $1,000 for a phone aren't buying iPhones. So let's just go for broke and make the best $1,200 phone we can make.
I've always
liked
which
could be pretty awesome with the next couple.
I've always liked the wood backs. So I'm gonna get one of the wood backs.
Those are cool. Like they're like Renee with these Apple watches. It's like I would own like 9 of these backs. Like I feel like I'm in a bamboo mood. No, I'm feeling like I'm in a pirate leather mood, and you just snap a colorful
Indiana Jones mode.
So they're giving. I gotta find where they're giving away the projector. I like that idea.
Yeah. That's a note from the briefing. I don't have the actual details. Again, I came almost right from the briefing to here.
Right. By the way, not for sale in Germany. For some reason, we don't know.
Let's throw one piece of shade before we go. Though they made a big deal about it's the thinnest phone we've ever made. Like, yeah, just don't look at the side that has this
the big
huge,
camera.
This huge, like this, it's the size of a dime, which actually it's the size of a nickel. Which I'm not ashamed of like camera bump outs, but okay, just go easy on.
Is it a good camera though? I mean, if it's a good camera, that's okay.
I would actually pay money for a camera bump on the MacBook. We can get them over.
Yeah. I mean, for better. Well, it's twin lenses. I literally just took it out of the box while I was sitting down here for the show, and so I'll probably do some shooting with it in the limited time I have before I get my train home today. But a twin 12 megapixel cameras on the front there. Everyone has
12. Is this the Z2 Force?
Yes. I'm sorry. It's the Moto Z2 Force.
Force. Okay. So
yeah.
There you go. And that's the one. Yeah. And there is there's a rebate for that. That you get if you buy the Pico projector, there's a rebate, which is like $300. That's actually a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. And you can buy like really good speakers that only make it about double as thick. Yeah. I like the idea of people who think that a speaker is ridiculous don't have to buy it, but people are like, no, I walk around with my phone all the time, and that would be, yeah. So we'll see how it
works. Looks like you have to buy it, not from Motorola directly, but through a partner to get the rebate.
Yeah, Best Buy has them. They're AT&T, really Best happy Buy, about how
Sprint,
much.
T-Mobile, yeah, Verizon, right. U.S. Cellular. Good. I'm glad. I want to see Moto continue to succeed. I really like the Moto X, and
again, more people putting their own ideas into phones makes it better for consumers everywhere. Yep. So I'm all in for it.
All right. Hey, thank you, Andy. Thank you also, of course, to Alex Lindsay. He's at the PixelCore, pixelcore.com. Follow him on the Twitter if you want to know what he's up to. AlexLindsay.
And I'll be in, should be on the show, but I'll be in Pittsburgh next week, visiting family and doing some work. So I'm probably going to do some kind of get together. So,
good. Excellent article on in the New York Times about how Carnegie Mellon graduates are sticking around and turning Pittsburgh into the city, the place to be.
You know, it's hard to get over the sports culture and
Steel Town.
Steelers, you get kind of used to the Steelers. And even if the Pirates don't make it to the World Series, it's a really nice baseball field and some great players with, you know, and fun to watch. And then, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't have any of the stuff that you're used to. I mean, that you got used to, when you think about Pittsburgh. There's no steel mills. It's clean. There's great things to do there. My wife was actually kind of amazed when, you know, she got there. She knew more about Pittsburgh by the end of our 1 year out there than I did, because she is a city girl. So she's like, there's art festivals and science centers and all these other things. And I was like, nice. It's all the way in Pittsburgh. You know, it's a long way away from where we live. So I'll be there, and I'm going to find a space to get together with whoever wants to get together. So we'll talk more about that later.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks to all of you for joining us. Security, if you're watching live, Security Now coming up in minutes. But for the rest of you, back to work, because you know what? Break time is over. Bye-bye.